And this meeting is a very important meeting for us. And I feel that it's really I want the correct term, but to still be looking at issues that relate to PENSALP towards the end of the term, and we were baptized by fire when we came in 2014. PENSALP was the first institution that we dealt with, and seemingly PENSALP is going to be the last institution that we deal in as we go out. Out of this institution in 2017, next year. We've had this on our table since 2014. It has been a long walk. And as the portfolio committee, we made PENSALP our priority because of the situation that we found when we got there. And we were hoping that the seriousness and the prioritization of PENSALP would ensure that during this term, PENSALP would be a better organization that discharges its mandate as much as possible. A very important institution that has to do with who we are, because your language is about your culture and your culture is about who you are. So it's really sad to still be dealing with issues that have to do with PENSALP. Be that as it may, we need to look into the issue of us. Because PENSALP, as we all understand, that there was a board. When we first came in 2014, there was a board. And it was a new board. That board was new. We had a new board. We had a new minister and a deputy minister. We were new. And this is what we said as the portfolio committee, that we should exploit. The fact that we were all new was something that we could exploit to ensure that the situation at PENSALP was conducive for the work that has to be done in that institution. But as we all know, things did not turn out the way we wanted them to. In 2016, the board was dissolved because of the many problems that were there. And after that, we thought that we would be able to start a process of having a board, a new board, because the reason why there was such a problem in PENSALP in the first place was that in the previous term, the CEO became the accounting authority. Mr. Zwane, if you remember that name, became the accounting authority, and that was a problem. There were a lot of things that were done in that institution that were illegal. So the fear of the committee was that we don't want a situation where the CEO would be the accounting authority. So we thought we would speedily get a new board. But the matter was taken to court, and we could not move with the process of the new board. But now we do have in front of us as the portfolio committee CVs that have been sent by the department for us to consider, shortlist, and then conduct interviews. And as the portfolio committee, I think what's important for us is that we need to ensure that the process is watertight. If the process is not watertight, then the product will be flawed and the product will be challenged. This is not what we want as the portfolio committee. We want to do this once and for all. And we want to come out with a product that's going to ensure that the work that has to be done in that institution is discharged to the best of its ability. We have invited the office that deals with the supporting these institutions that are supporting democracy. It's in the deputy chief, it's in the deputy speaker's office. And we've invited them to advise us. And now that we know that, we were informed by the minister that Dr. Madiba, after the department won the challenge by the board, now Dr. Madiba has taken this thing back to court, ne? There is that thing that he has taken it back to court. And the end of term of the board is next year, because they came in with us in 2014 and their end of term is in 2017. So it's a 5-year term that the board of PENSALP has. So we've invited the office so that they look at the process, give us a presentation so that we deliberate as the portfolio committee. We take a decision on how we deal with this very important matter. Without wasting more time, I would welcome you all and give an opportunity to OISD to give us their presentation. Thank you, honorable members and ladies and gentlemen. Over to you, OISD.
Good morning, members. My name is Kaya Zweni. I'm the head of the OISD, and I'm with my colleague Herman Tembe, the legal assistant. Chair, we have a copy of the legal advice that we have prepared. We are busy making copies. I think we have got only 3 copies before us. So we're told that let's make copies available. We don't have a slide presentation, Chair, unfortunately. It's not a big legal advice. It's just 4 pages. I will just talk to it, especially to the salient issues, as you have mentioned, that of particular concern is the process that must be followed. In terms of the PANSAP Act, as amended, at number 59 of 1995, Section 5 of that Act is instructive as to what process must be followed when when the board is being appointed. I think I must also make it clear that the appointing authority is the minister, but there is a process that is detailed which must be followed. Firstly, there should be an ad hoc committee that must be appointed after consultation with the portfolio committee of parliament, which means this portfolio committee. That is mentioned in Section 5.3A of the PANSLAP Act. This ad hoc committee should consist of about 9 persons, and it must be charged with the responsibility of inviting members of the public for nomination, and subsequent to receiving the nominations or the CVs, it must forward those nominations or CVs to this particular committee for processing. If I may be just be specific, processing in this instance would mean shortlisting and interviewing the suitable candidates, who must at a later stage be given to the minister for appointment with recommendations, of course. Now, when we were perusing the process that has been followed, we noticed that there was a letter written by the minister, I'm not sure of the date, to the committee chair, wherein the minister was advising or informing this committee that these are the 9 people that I've appointed as ad hoc committee members to run with the process of inviting nominees from the general public. However, if you look closely to that list, I think Jabu has got that list, you will notice that those are officials of the department, all of them. And at the, there is a line or a sentence at the end of the letter that is to the effect that I'm informing you that this is, these are the people that I've nominated. Secondly, we come to the point that when we receive the CVs or the nominations, we notice that, in fact, from the advert itself, it was not issued by this ad hoc committee. We notice that the minister issued this advert, and there were 2 names put on the advert as people who you must contact or you must send your nominations to. A certain Mr. Sibusi So Tanyane and Ms. T. Malawo. We are not sure whether these are officials of the department or what is their relation with the ad hoc committee, but our suspicion is that these are also officials of the department. Now, the CVs were forwarded to Parliament or to this committee. Again, what we need to make sure or to be certain of is whether it's this committee that forwarded these CVs to Parliament, or again, it was somebody else, not the committee. I would like to emphasize that if we look holistically at the purpose and the intent of the legislature, especially in enunciating these provisions, I think it's glaringly clear that the intention is to ensure that the process is fair, unbiased, and independent. That's why there should be these consultations with the portfolio committee, and this ad hoc committee of 9 persons should be independent, so that there are no suspicions of any kind of manipulation in the process. Now, I think that's the preliminary issue that the committee has to deliberate and battle with and decide, because as the chair has outlined, subsequent to the appointment of this committee, there was a lull in the sense that this matter was taken to court, and I think the minister informed the committee that they've halted the process of appointing because of the court challenges. But again, I think the minister received another legal advice to say you can proceed with this process of appointing due to the fact that the situation at PANSLAB vis-a-vis the challenge that the board members have lodged outweighs the fact that PANSLAB is an institution that's supposed to deliver on a constitutional mandate. Then we received the CVs. And in my analysis, the CVs that were received are CVs that were sourced by this ad hoc committee that was initially appointed by the minister without consultation. So if my facts are correct, the CVs that we are sitting with, or the nominations that we are sitting with, are an outcome of that committee which was appointed by the minister, unilaterally appointed by the minister, if I'm a mistake like that. So that's the issue that we must battle with. Then, again, Chair, we asked a question as to whether they are pending appeal, because we are advised that the chairperson of the dissolved board is appealing the matter. He has petitioned the SCA, because the initial appeal at the High Court was dismissed with cost. Whether the pending appeal is a legal ground or valid ground for this process also to be halted. We looked at the Act, and we were advised that Section 18 of the Supreme Court Act, Superior Court Act, suggests that the appeal of a the appeal on a judgment of a lower court suspends the effectiveness of that judgment. By mere fact that you lodge an appeal on a judgment of the lower court, the operation of that judgment is suspended automatically. However, when we come to this issue of PASLAM, we're sitting with an administrative action by the minister, which in my view is different from a judgment of the court. So there is no judgment of the court that, for instance, confirms the process that the minister took when he dismissed the board, or a judgment that says, minister, you were wrong, we should have followed this procedure and that procedure. So we are still sitting with a review application of the decision of the minister. In other words, when you the applicable legislation would be PAJA. PAJA is Promotion of Administrative Justice Act 3 of 2000, meaning that, as you would also refer to the recent case of, I think it's Molife and others, this is Minister of Transport, when the minister dissolved the board or discharged the minister. There is a paragraph that's very instrumental, which is paragraph 2. I'm on page 3 of the Legal Opinion Report, the bottom paragraph, where it says that the court held that the power to appoint and dismiss the board members by the minister constitutes an administrative action, as it involves implementation of a national legislation. Such power must at least be exercised in a lawful, rational manner with the principle of administrative justice. In such cases, the minister is liable to be reviewed under the grounds provided under PAJA. So this is just a review of an administrative action. However, the minister's decision to dissolve the board remains valid. If I may just oppose this with easier understanding, if an employee is dismissed by the employer, when he challenges the dismissal, he challenges that dismissal whilst outside, until such time that you interdict the employer from proceeding to fill in that vacancy whilst you are pending your review or your application. This is a scenario here. We looked at the papers at PANSLAB, and we have noticed that there is no prohibitory interdict order that has been sought to say, minister, don't proceed to fill in our vacancies until the matter is decided by the court. They are just reviewing the decision itself. So that means there is nothing in law that prevents or prohibits the process to fill in the vacancies. However, as we might have seen recently, I think it was in the case of ICASA, when Parliament tried to also proceed with certain proceedings in terms of the law, there was an urgent court application made to stop or interdict Parliament from filling in that particular vacancy. So we are just sensitizing that, again, the committee must be aware that it might be interdicted if the dissolved board members take notice that we are proceeding as Parliament to fill in the vacancies. They might go to court to interdict or stop the process. But as we speak, that process, there is no application or interdict that is underway in the court. So what the committee has to battle with or consider is, one, whether we condone the procedural flawness in terms of the process up until we received the CVs or the nominations, and if that is condoned, then it means that there's nothing that prohibits or prevents this committee from taking action in terms of interviewing and shortlisting the candidates. I think it's important also, Chair, what you have mentioned earlier on, that the board's term, the dissolved board's term, is due to end in 2019. So, because I'm saying that because I heard that there was a contestation that if the board's term has already ended, it means they cannot validly challenge reinstatement, so to say. But that the case is that they have to, I think they were appointed in May last year, meaning that the term ends in May next, no, sorry, May 2014, meaning that the term ends in May next year. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much for that presentation. And I'm now going to give honorable members an opportunity to ask questions and to make comments. Honorable Tsoledi.
Thank you very much, Chair. If perhaps he can go a little bit back and at the beginning of his presentation on the ad hoc committee. I didn't get it, Chair, who appoints the ad hoc committee, because I think that's really very important for us to understand, and who should be part of the ad hoc committee. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Tsoledi. And if you look at the principal bill, the act that was amended, you will see that they had the idea was to broaden the people who made up this ad hoc committee, because they had something about provinces, but it was not in the amendment. Having someone, people from the nine provinces, having it set like broadly. So that I think it's the idea that was there initially, that as Mr. Zuma was saying earlier, that it should be broadened as much as possible. But is there any other question? Can you respond to that question then?
Chair, I just I missed a part of the procedural flaws, and I think it comes down to the same question that my colleague asked in terms of the ad hoc committee. Because in terms of if they are constituted properly, then there's no impediment. But I what you actually not saying to us was that the appointment of the ad hoc committee is procedurally flawed. That's how I understood what you have not said.
Thank you, Chair. If I may start with the last question, Chair. That's what we are, Honourable Member, we are advising the committee. The conclusion is that the appointment of this ad hoc committee was procedurally flawed. And in that instance, we are citing Section 5.3a, which is instrumental in the sense that it says the appointment of that ad hoc, of that ad hoc committee, which would be charged with advertising or calling for nominations and receiving the CVs and subsequently sending them to this portfolio committee for shortlisting and interview. The minister appointed this ad hoc committee himself. And then linked to the question as to who should be who should serve in that committee. I think the act is not explicit who must serve. However, if we look at the spirit and purport of the act itself, it means it's people who must not be subjected or may not be subjected to any influence either by the minister or by the committee itself. I think the explanation or the example of the previous act that Chair made, where the intention was to have an ad hoc committee that is representative of the country, that is all the provinces being, to me, gives guidance as to who we should consider as members of this ad hoc committee. The other question was who appoints. It's the minister who appoints, but that appointment of the ad hoc committee must be done after consulting this committee. In other words, this committee must not just be told that these are the people I've appointed. There must be that engagement and a possible agreement that, yes, we feel comfortable that these are the people who must serve in that ad hoc committee, which will run with the recruitment process, because basically it's the running of the recruitment process of the PANSA board member that this ad hoc committee is charged with.
Follow up on that question. If I have it correct that the board, which is now defunct, not in operation, are the ones who were or are supposed to set up the terms and references of the advertisement. Is that correct? Or must that advertisement be placed by the minister? Shouldn't the outgoing board be able to place that? Because now you said the minister did that. And I just want to, because if those two questions are correctly answered, then we should have no challenges in terms of going ahead with this. I think this gentleman has not...
To understand, Honorable Khrokom, are you saying that it's the board that is not... If the board was there, okay, was it the one that has to advertise for the... Okay, that's the... If it was there, okay. Okay.
Thanks, Honorable Chair. Maybe just to clarify on that one, let me start by summing it up. Currently, there is no board at PANSAB. So, which means that board which you are speaking about is defunct. Being defunct, there is no any responsibility which is charged with. So it's the ad hoc committee after consultation with this portfolio committee that can set up the terms and references for the recruitment of the new board. So on the, maybe just to also add on that one, who appoints the ad hoc committee? As it was said, it's the minister after consultation with this portfolio committee, but the act is silent. But the technicality that we are raising here is on the procedure which needs to be rectified. Maybe after this procedure has been rectified, then the process can go forward. Because what can be problematic is that we should not be giving two conflicting opinion that there is a procedural flow, then again, but the process can continue. Let us argue that let be the procedural flow be corrected, then the process continue forward. Because the only matter that can stop the process is when this dissolved board brings a prohibitory interdict against this committee to go forward. But currently, as the matter stands, there is no prohibitory interdict. It's just a review. It's an application for a review of the administrative action of the minister, which does not have much of an impact on this process now. Thanks, Chair.
Honorable Makonto.
Thanks, Chair. It becomes more confusing. It becomes more confusing, Chair, because it looks like amongst us here, there's no one who is clear as to what process has been followed up until where we are here. I don't know, Chair, but I can't recall being consulted by the Minister in relation to the process. That's why I'm saying it becomes more confusing. I also do not know the people who are serving in the ad hoc committee. But I understand the intention of the Act in relation to the ad hoc committee. That is to ensure that the process is fair. And I've got a question, but I don't know who to ask. Because I realize that us here, we don't have the answers to the question that I want to ask. So that's why I'm saying it becomes more confusing. The other question that I'm asking myself is, because there's no interdict, if we continue and it happens to come out that there are people who know somewhere that the process was not, because I know that we're not consulted in relation to this, what then are the implications? Because that process can be challenged. But again, we don't know for sure what are the intentions of the previous board in challenging the dissolution of the board. You know, in English they say, the more things change, the more they remain the same. So I don't know. So I'm more confused. I wanted to ask questions, but I realize that you might not have the answer. Because I know for sure that we were not consulted. I don't know the ad hoc committee that has received this application. And my question to you is, if we proceed, what are then the implications?
Thank you very much, Honorable Makondo. The letter, Uchabu, is still looking. Oh, okay. I think it was sent to us last year, 2016, it was sent to us in 2016.
Oh, Chair, no, I'm saying, Chair, that there are two letters here. There was one letter that was sent within the department that I've managed to get. It's dated 18th of April 2016. That one is informing the minister of this ad hoc board, ad hoc committee, and also the advisory committee. And then this one that they sent through is
informing.
Yes, the minister.
It's from?
No, IPA, it's an internal letter, sir.
Oh.
And then the other one.
Who is it from?
Let me just double check who signed it off. It's stamped by the Deputy Minister's office
in
2016, 18th of April. Deputy Minister. 2016, April. Okay. The appointment of an advisory committee, pencil. The advisory committee, okay. Gabanye chenuti aba. Yeah. So I've got that one, but that was only signed. Okay. Now I've got it, Chair. Le enye, it was the other committee members who signed off this advisory committee. I don't know if I'm
okay, that's
okay. Let me send you the one, the 2016 one, Chair. It says here. It was signed in March.
What is it about?
The appointment of the new board members of the PENSAL, of PENSAL. As you are aware, the board of PENSAL was dissolved in January 2016.
Okay, so
is a committee, Chair.
That's something else. It's that interim board that the
yes.
member, there was an interim arrangement that the minister made.
Mm.
But funny enough, when you interrogated
yeah.
the department about that, they said because
so that brings
it to Dr. Munareng, what was the strategy? Do you remember? We asked them, yes, in the committee meeting, what happened to those people that were an interim arrangement? They said, but Dr. Munareng didn't want to work with them. He just ignored them. And I asked, really? Do you mean that just because he didn't consider them as a board, as the department, you just withdrew them? Do you remember? I did ask that question. And the other one?
You didn't. So this is the appointment of the head of committee. The names of the people that you serve on the adult committee are Mr. Ndiba, Ms. Kebero, Ms. Mokoto, Ms. Dr. Kiso, Dr. Dugwini, Mr. Eda Johnson, Mr. Mashii, Mr. Tim, and Mr. Ndiba. They are all from the public program. It says that the adult committee was chosen to review all the nominations for compliance and then submit names of nominated persons to the procedural committee for the charge of the board.
The committee. The ad hoc committee was constituted in 2016, but we never met with them with regard to issues of PENSAL. And Dr. Munareng, wasn't he only appointed in 2017 and towards the end of 2016? Because I don't think he was in 2016 appointed. It's 2017, hence he could not have a disagreement with the board in 2016 if he was not the CEO. Or end of 2016, yeah.
Yeah, this is why I was saying earlier to Uchabu, we need the chronology, you know, like what happened when, so that we are clear and also know the get the information of when was the board actually disbanded and when did they challenge it, you know, so that we have this picture, because if they challenged it and we were informed then by the minister that we cannot go on, if you remember there was that letter that was saying we can't go on with the interviews because this had been challenged in court. Yes, we have that letter. And then, you know, we need that chronology so that we, at the end of it all, we are able to say, because of these things that have happened, this is the decision that we are taking. I think it's important for us to have that chronology of events. And if we're saying now, we can go on as you are suggesting, we can go on with the interviews. And earlier, we could not go on with the interviews because now it's just a review. But at the time, they were actually challenging the action of the minister. But now it's just a review. We need to be clear of that. And whatever letter is written to the department should have all these things stipulated. Remember? So that we understand each other. We are at the same level of understanding. And that chronology is going to assist us, really, to know exactly where we are. As I said earlier, we don't want to delay the process, but we want the process to be beyond any reproach.
Thank you, Chair. There was a question that says, what are the implications if we go ahead? Chair, the implications are clearly that the process might be challenged as being a void ab initio, void from the beginning, because as we have been stating, indeed there was no consultation, and it's clear that there should have been consultation in the appointment of the very ad hoc committee that will be charged with running with the recruitment process. So if someone who's clever out there might pick that up, even maybe from the board members themselves, those who are already out, if they can pick that up, they can challenge the process. But now the question is, we put that procedural aspect aside and look at whether, if this is cured, let's supposedly that this procedural aspect is cured, is there anything that prohibits or prevents the committee legally from interviewing people or appointing the board? The answer is now, this answer is no, is based on the fact of the challenge by Professor, the dissolved board members themselves now, the pending court case, the appeal that they have lodged. Legally, there is nothing that prevents this committee on the basis of their application alone. If we segment these issues, the first one is for this committee to deliberate and decide that, look, because of this procedural flaw in the appointment process of the ad hoc committee, do we continue or not? The other leg is relating to the pending court case by the board. Is that also an impediment from us proceeding? The answer there is no. So there are two legal issues that we are considering in the legal opinion. I think it's on page two. We bulleted the legal issues there. And I think, Honorable Rodman, when you ask whether neither the board or that is a dissolved board should have been the one tasked with drafting the terms of reference or the minister, the answer is absolutely no. It's this ad hoc committee that must be the one that takes the process from beginning to end, end being when they submit the nominees to this committee. Hence I was trying to say the intention, if we look at the purposive interpretation of the court, that this process must be handled by a independent, impartial ad hoc committee or body, so that there are no perceptions of manipulation from either the department or from the committee itself. Thank you.
But now you said the minister issued the advertisement and not the board, the ad hoc board. So there is a procedural flaw. That is the one that we're arguing now.
The ad hoc committee. Yeah. So it should be the ad. Okay.
I just read it verbatim. The minister, after consultation with the portfolio committee, shall appoint an ad hoc committee consisting of not fewer than 9 persons, we've heard there are 9, to invite the general public to nominate persons for appointment as members of the board. So this ad hoc committee must be the one that must invite the general public. So that, in other words, they issue that. And subsequent to receiving those, they must forward them to Parliament. I remember, Chair, at one stage, we were contesting a letter that was from the minister saying that this committee will sift and shortlist.
Mm.
And we said, no, that's the task of, they must just submit the CVs as they are to this committee, and this committee is the one that must do the shortlisting, reviewing, and so forth. For instance, if I may ask a question, that the CVs that we have, do we know, is it the total number of the people who applied, for example? We don't know. Those are the kind of flaws or issues that I think the intention of the Act wanted to avoid.
Okay.
Hence, it was supposed to be an ad hoc committee unanimously appointed, from say, by the two stakeholders, and then from there, straight to this committee. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable Fuledi.
Yeah, I think the latter part answers most of our questions, because we were talking about that with Honourable Makwana. I think what is important here, we all know that what type of officials that we are dealing with from that department. I think it's very important that we should not lose sight of the portfolio committee. We have been dealing with them for almost 4 years now. We were 4 years last week, Chairperson, Silafe Parliament. So, in other words, then it takes us back, Chair, that whatever that we need to do here now as this portfolio committee, remember we have set a credibility for ourselves throughout the process. We can't afford now when we're about to exit this portfolio committee and we find ourselves that our credibility will be questioned because of issues that are not being done correctly. One, the main issue is, Minister has done this without our consultation. I would understand that. That's a bottom line check. Even the establishment of the ad, we don't want to be in an ad hoc committee, but the processes should be followed to the latter so that we avoid the issue of always being challenged, Parliament being challenged. We are being viewed as not doing our work. I'm going to say that coming from a portfolio committee that I'm saving in, because we were cited on numerous occasions that those members of Parliament are sleeping in social development. So I wouldn't want, even on this portfolio committee, to be always cited in orders that are coming from court. So I think it's important that, Chair, whatever decision that we take, based on the advice that we get, everything should be followed to the latter. All the processes should be followed to the latter. Minister has to really do what is expected of him by the legislation to do. Ourselves also, we need to do the same thing, what is expected from our side to perform. Because if Siza Ubaleki Salendo see a pambil, we might find, and I'm really worried, I've been cited so many times, Chair, in social development, I don't want to be cited on this one, that we are not doing our work while we have tried to do our work at our own ability, but the problem will always be the executive will not want to do what is expected of them to perform, Chair. The next question is not banners or person, especially in the department. Like, it's important that how many CVs really that we submitted, because tomorrow I can write a letter and say that I submitted a CV while I did not, because it went to the wrong people. In my understanding, I thought when Jabu was talking about the CV, or the last, it was at the last meeting, when CVs that have been received, I thought maybe it's like, why, what we would normally do in the legislatures when the portfolio committee is expected to do the shortlisting and everything, CVs will be sent directly to the legislature. CVs will be sent directly to Parliament, so that Parliament is the one that opens those CVs and see what is contained in the packet. I thought even this one is like that. Now I realize that it's not like that, because how do you shortlist CVs that you did not receive? Somebody received before you. As a panel, because the panel, even the experience from where one was working, panel is the one that opens the CVs in front of everybody who is there in the panel. So that if unions are there in terms of classes, unions, everybody will sign and confirm that we had 20 CVs because they were sealed, packaged. But on these ones, zivela kwenye indawo. And it has happened in PECOFS now. There is also a challenge with the board. Somebody who said that, but my CV was there. I put on the CV, but apparently in jury shortlisting and all those things, a CV was not, my CV was not part of it. In other words, somebody could have taken the CV out. And the person has got a confirmation that I submitted my CV, but the CV was not part of the package. So really, I think we need to, my suggestion will be, let's follow the correct thing. At least we've got now the idea of what is supposed, we are supposed to do as honorable members. Thank you.
Thank you, honorable Tuledi. Honorable Crossbone.
You see, my colleague, honorable Tuledi, just touched another issue. I may also said, listen, I also submitted, tendered my application, but my CV is not here.
I think what we need to do, maybe with the assistance of the office of the IOSD, is to write to the department and outline what needs to happen and how it should happen. What needs to happen and how it should happen. And citing the flaws that have been cited here in respect to the CVs that we have. You first cite these concerns that have been raised and then outline what should happen and how it should happen so that we are all clear of what needs to be done. Because I think it's important for the process, as I said earlier, because if the process is not watertight, the product is flawed. So we need to really ensure that the process is watertight and it's beyond reproach, as I said earlier. So I think the office needs to outline exactly what should happen and the issue of the ad hoc committee, how it should be established and how the portfolio committee has to be consulted, how it should give an okay to say these are the people, and how the ad hoc committee should advertise, not the department, but the ad hoc committee that would be in place. And you quote what the Constitution, what the Act is saying, so that we are all clear of what needs to happen, and hoping that this process will not be delayed further, but we need to do the right thing so that we are not taken to court. We are fighting with people who are litigating, so we can't drive people to litigate against us. That we can't do as the portfolio committee, because this is what we are against. So I think we, honorable members, this is how I think we should take this thing forward. A letter be written by IOSD to the department outlining the concerns that were raised in the meeting and the gaps that are there, and also just stipulating what should be done and how it should be done, so that there are no mistakes going forward. This is how I'm summarizing it, honorable members. If there's anything I'm leaving out, can you please add? Thank you very much. IOFD, I think you need to work closely with us. You've tried your best to work closely with us. And I think we need, especially with issues that concern PENSALP, to work close together. And maybe we need to look also at the time that we're going to need to have this process start all over again. And we need to have in mind the issue that is raised by Auditor General every year. The AG has a finding of this accounting authority not being there, and maybe come up with a suggestion on how we can try to avoid the finding by the AG. And maybe the issue, I don't know, but the issue of the interim accounting authority that the minister started and it disappeared on the way. Why it disappeared, we couldn't get answers from it. The only answer that we could get is that it's because the CEO didn't like those people. So, and you just find that it's not acceptable. So if you can also look at the time that it will, that this process will take, and advise on maybe how we could have a stopgap measure where we could, while we are at the going over the process again, we can have a stopgap measure that is going to ensure that the AG doesn't have the findings as we go forward. Yeah, Vagala, a minute. Short time. No, okay.
Yeah, but thank you,
sir.
We'll do our best.
Thank you very much. And I think Mr. Komle had done a good job in looking at these and categorizing them. So, but we don't expect you to present to us the work that you have done until we go through that process. And we thank you very much for the work that you have done. And we are now looking forward to the letter that's going to be returned to the department and see what then transpires after that. Thank you very much, honorable members, for your time. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, Apaka, look, you were assisting. You're always there to assist, to give him these things, and but yes, I'm Mantabu. Okay, we thank you both for the work that you have done, and as we get ready to start this whole process, we know that you'll be there to assist. There being no other business, ladies and gentlemen, honorable members, the meeting is adjourned.